Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Jacob Sanderson here on Thursday, December 28th. We've got one more week after this left of the regular season. Of course, we are wishing you all luck on whatever your Week 17 sweats may be, your home leagues. I hope you guys got a lot of Best Ball Mania teams alive. I hope you have a lot of DraftKings Millie teams alive. Yeah, we're here, man. And it's so funny to open up this slate for DFS, having memorized all these matchups 7 months ago, and seeing how, oh, this actually played out exactly how I thought it would. You know, Detroit-Dallas, which is not on this slate, is actually the nut game. Atlanta-Chicago, yeah. Not as fun maybe as it could have been, but still kind of fun. But yeah, we are here in Week 17, Jacob.
It is the least prep that's ever been necessary for this show, because I already know all the matchups. We already know all the totals. I've all the possible game stack combinations have been percolating in my mind for weeks, which is good, because as the listeners may be able to tell, my throat is not in tip-top form. We're giving a little bit of a baritone performance this week, but we're going to power through. We're going to power through here. Only one more chance to play regular season DFS without half the teams resting their starters. So we gotta give it up for the people.
All right, well, let's begin with what I think promises to be a barn burner. I would be betting the over in this total. Well, we got Miami-Baltimore. It would be a lot better if I thought Jalen Waddle was going to play and be fully healthy in this game. Maybe there's some chance he like runs like 8 routes or something, but I'm guessing Jalen Waddle
does not play. See you in the playoffs, Jalen.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's probably more likely. The Baltimore Ravens, obviously no Mark Andrews, no Keaton Mitchell. They are down to just Gus Edwards in the backfield. I think it's very hard to get Tyreek this week. Early season ownership is not particularly high on him, and it wasn't last week either. I played some 6% owned Tyreek Hill last week. It didn't mean shit. Honestly, probably the best play from this game are the Miami running backs, Mostert and A-Chain. And I think Isaiah Likely. It's our first game here, but I think I already might be flag planning Isaiah Likely at 4,600.
What are the odds we actually get more of the two running back sets in this spot with Waddle? Like, I know that it's like something we always hypothesize about in theory and then usually never see. We did kind of see it in the Titans game when Tyreek Hill missed the first half. They did use Achane more as a player lined up outside with Mostert in the backfield. I mean, I almost think they don't even have a choice. Like, this team without Waddle really only has so many playmakers. And I think choosing to have only one of Achane or Mostert on the field, I mean, it basically means you have two playmakers on the field at all times, because you're just not going to be successful against the defense of Baltimore's caliber, relying on Cedric Wilson and Robbie Chosen and Braxton Berrios and these other goofs. So I'm hopeful that this is a really positive input for the running backs.
So last week, just watching the game, this is very anecdotal, so no one fact check me on the snaps, but after Waddle got hurt, I did notice maybe 2 or 3 times Achane was lined up in the slot or out wide as like a legitimate wide receiver. I think that's like a pretty clear hypothesis that you lose one of your two game-breaking players, it doesn't make sense to just funnel targets to Durham Smythe and Braxton Berrios. Although Durham Smythe did see 6 targets last week, which I think was totally like, shit, Jalen Waddle just got hurt. Yeah. Like, we got to just find a way to get the ball down the field. Obviously, we are acolytes of Mike McDaniel. We both think he's pretty good. I think that a pretty logical conclusion to we don't have Jalen Waddle is we need to find ways for Devin Achane to get in space. So I will
totally
again
agree. And it's an extremely important game. right? I mean, like they, this game it puts them in the driver's seat for the bye. If they lose this game, then not only are they eliminated from contention for the bye, but then they would be stuck in a win and in for the division next week. So this game clinches them the division, would get them within one game of clinching the bye. I mean, this would not be the week to hold back on using his playmakers. This would be the week for whatever tricks he's got up his sleeve. Like, let's see him, Mike. This is, I mean, it's essentially a playoff game in that it could save them a playoff game and earn them two additional home games.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually like a pretty good point, thinking about player usage. Like, what are you saving Devin Achane for if you can't give him 18 touches in this game? So the issue on the Ravens side, I mean, Lamar, we don't talk about FanDuel much on here. He is free on FanDuel. He's 7,900 on FanDuel. He's like the best play there. On DraftKings, I think you just do your class. You can play naked Lamar. I think you can do Lamar and Likely, Lamar and Zay. Maybe this is the spot to double stack Lamar because it's just as important to Baltimore as it is to Miami, because I believe if they win here, that locks the division up for them.
And locks the buy up too.
And they locks the buy up. So they can go, you know, full balls to the wall here, and then we get treated to Snoop Huntley and, you know, whatever practice squad running back they want to call up next week.
Yeah, and we saw last week in a game that, you know, probably wasn't actually quite as important as this one is in terms of the standings implications. But I mean, I think you can tell just even from the post-game interviews, like how seriously they took that game. It was a game where they were like, yeah, this entire offensive game plan is flowing through Lamar, right? Like the running backs were not really a part of the game plan, frankly, until the last few drives when they were running out the clock. They were very rarely handing the ball off to Justice Hill and Gus Edwards. Like it was primarily Lamar's dropping back, he's throwing, or he's running RPOs, or he's running himself. But like almost every single play in the first half of that game until they got up by 18 points was flowing through Lamar. And I expect to see something very similar this week where Gus and Justice Hill are afterthoughts and it's the Lamar show. And the nice thing about Mark Andrews not being a part of this situation anymore is that it has become way easier to double stack Lamar in that the target shares are more evenly distributed. There's right. No prohibitive price option, so you can play Lamar, and I would just probably always include Likely in the stack just to fill tight end, but like Lamar, Likely, and one of Zay or Odell if you want, I mean, but his usage has gone down recently, I think is like very, very in play.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, our next game, the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. So it's this weird thing where the Patriots team total is literally sub 14, but DeMario Douglas and Ezekiel Elliott both still project well because Ezekiel Elliott gets almost every running back touch. I think Kevin Harris had 7 snaps. He just managed to score on one of them. And Douglas, you know, like he's cheap. There's not a plethora of cheap wide receivers this week. I would be looking to avoid Zeke. I think I would just rather play Clyde in any given cheap running back spot. And then honestly, on the Bills side, like, sure, James Cook is a good play. 20 carries last week. People might get a little bit of sticker shock seeing 7K James Cook. I'm not like super into Diggs or Davis or Kincaid. Kincaid, actually, like the hypothesis that Knox will come back and steal his routes, it totally happened. Like he's down to 60%. He's like down to 60% of the routes. Like they have this crazy high team total. 27 points, I think, is the second highest of the slate. Yeah, it is the second highest of the slate. And sure, I mean, Josh Allen is like always a good play, but I'm not like looking to like jam Stephon Diggs this week, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Cook's a good play. I think like game theory brain on, Diggs is a good play. Historically, he has smashed the Patriots. You look at his target share every week. It's still very strong, even though he's had this massive cold stretch. I don't think if I like try to just use the brain that he's DOA. But then when I use the heart and I use the hand-build fingers, it's going to be hard for me to actually click on Stephon Diggs' name after he's gone under 30 yards in like half his last 6 games. But I do think it makes sense to play him. I do think James Cook is probably the best play in this game. I'm with you on the Zeke thing. Like I thought Zeke was a great play versus Pittsburgh and against Denver in two really, really plus matchups with all this volume. And I thought he was more of like a floor play against Kansas City. And I feel more similarly to that in this Buffalo spot. Like when they're in favorable environments, everything is flowing through him, but they're not this week. And I think he probably is more likely to come back to that 10 to 12 to 15 point range rather than a difference week ceiling.
Yep. I completely agree there. Like I think you can play Allen naked as well, like, and just be like he throws one to Knox, one to Kincaid, runs two in, like whatever. Like, and it, I mean, I think Josh Allen would like to win MVP, so maybe we see, like, you know, one extra drive from him or two extra drives than we would in a normal blowout scenario. Yeah. So yeah, whatever. All right, Atlanta.
I will note that, like, for all the people saying that Zeke is back, like he did turn like 11 targets and 12 carries, so 23 opportunities into 60 total yards. Like he's not actually like efficient. Like the workload is incredible, and in good matchups, if he scores a touchdown, you're 100% getting there. But I still wouldn't view him as like a player who's likely to provide you efficiency in this matchup versus Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that is accurate. All right, Atlanta, Chicago. You know, it's the Atlanta Falcons with Taylor Heinicke outdoors against a Bears defense that's playing pretty well. Yeah. I think Fields actually at like not crazy ownership, like he'll definitely be less owned than Lamar and Jalen.
Yes.
So I think, like, I mean, obviously, like Justin Fields and DJ Moore or Justin Fields and Cole Kmet kind of writes itself every week. To me, this does not speak to me as a Kyle Pitts, Drake London, or even particularly Bijan Robinson week. I mean, Bijan is kind of like always, anytime Bijan is not like chalk, and you think there's a chance that Arthur Smith comes into the game being like, this guy's going to get 23 carries, I got no issue with it. I would prefer A-Chain at kind of roughly that similar price, you know, just looking at how these guys are projected. Like, Bijan's raw projection is not good this week at 6,600. So, just, I don't know. This is probably a favorite to be one of the worst games on Red Zone of the entire slate.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what everyone speculated in the summer, and there's a lot to get wrong in the summer, but it seems like people were right about this game. It's probably going to suck. Yeah, I would play Fields more, or I play Fields Kmet, and I probably wouldn't play a bring back. I would play Bijan if I was playing anyone, or I would just ignore the game entirely.
Yeah, and it sounds like Foreman is going to be back this week. I speculated that he'd be real sneaky last week, but now I just think it's going to be a mess because Herbert played well when he had not played well in a long time. I don't think he'd like had like a good efficiency game since like week four or something. And then Roshan still played all the long down and distance. So it's like, this is a true three-way mess backfield with the quarterback taking 20% of the rushes and a 37-point total. So it's not... Last week, I was in on Roshan after Foreman got announced out. I probably will not be back in on him this week. Sounds like we are going to get C.J. Stroud back for the Houston Texans against the Tennessee Titans. Titans defense, they have given up. They're eliminated from playoff contention. Again, sounds like Tannehill might have to start this game because Levis has this ankle injury. Yeah, and I mean, I wonder if it's kind of one of those things where the shine of the apple for the Houston Texans is off a little bit because, like, they're kind of outside looking in on the playoffs right now, and we haven't seen C.J. Stroud, and, like, they lost last week in kind of, like, ridiculous fashion. Devin Singletary is getting all these touches. Like, I do wonder if Stroud-Nico combos are, like, way less owned than they would have been 3 weeks ago just because the sample is not fresh in our mind.
Could not possibly agree more. I think this is a massive spot for them indoors against a bad secondary, and I mean, who knows what we're gonna see on return, but like, as far as I know, the medical experts usually say there's not any major return to performance issues upon return from a concussion. Nico Collins is back. I know there's no Tank Dell, but like, the fact that I'm seeing low projected ownership for Stroud, Nico, no Tank Dell indoors, good matchup, is crazy. So this will 100% be my flag plant. I will play Stroud, Nico stack, and honestly, maybe 100% of my lineups. I think it's kind of crazy that they're getting this massive of a discount just because we haven't seen it in a while. Obviously, could go wrong, but if you just start from the assumption that they are the same Stroud and Nico that they were 4 weeks ago, which is at least possible, they would probably be like 8% and 14% owned without Tank Dell, maybe higher. And right now we're seeing less than half of that. Maybe it sneaks up by the end of the week and then I change. But if it stays as it is right now, I think that's a pretty massive spot. And you can play Singletary even included in the stack if you want to like onslaught it as well.
Yeah, you definitely can. And Nico came back last week and played about half the snaps, but obviously a ton of those were like not run blocking snaps. Like he was just out there for passing downs. He got 6 targets on 35 snaps. So it's like, I'm not really that worried about Nico's health. And, you know, I mean, these are, again, to talk about what's going on in the larger NFL stuff, like super important game for the Houston Texans, that right now they are 34% to make the playoffs, but if they win this game and they beat the Colts next week, they are locks to make the playoffs. They're like 100% to make the playoffs.
Is that going to be our Sunday night game?
I don't know. I don't know the specifics well enough of like all the scenarios, but it's a pretty good chance to be this.
Like if the Texans beat the Raiders and the Colts, or sorry, if the Colts beat the Raiders and the Texans beat the Titans, then that's definitely a win and end game. So we might get that in prime time. We'll see.
Yes. All right. Our next game is that game, the Las Vegas Raiders against the Indianapolis Colts. Why did Jonathan Taylor suck last week?
Bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was not great there. I think Zamir White is like a perfectly cromulent play. Yeah. You know exactly what you're getting if Josh Jacobs doesn't go. Sounds like the team wants him to play, and I guess they're, after that win against the Chiefs, they are not drawing.
They are technically in playoff contention. Yeah,
they are not drawing unlive to the playoffs. So I think any idea of like Jacobs getting rested, if they beat the Colts and they beat the Broncos, they have a 35% chance to make the playoffs. So Jacobs will probably play. I can't even really do the Devontae Adams thing honestly anymore. Like Aiden O'Connell stinks, dude. He stinks.
Don't say that. I have a Devontae Adams, Alec Pierce mini correlation in my Fastball Mania Finals team. And I've been talking myself into it more by the hour. Like the more that I am like, man, I snuck this 202 Devontae all the way into the finals in spite of him trying to sabotage me. And now he gets this super, super passive defense, which is going to be able to do whatever he wants indoors. Like this is what it's all about. You know, the low owned Devontae Adams, 40 point explosion. Will I play it in DFS? No, because personally, I'm using my DFS lineups to hedge against anyone I don't have in my Fastball Mania lineup. But I actually think it's not a horrendous play. I do genuinely think that this is a strong spot for him. Like he still has had spike games with Aiden O'Connell. It's just that the floor is horrible. We just saw 2 weeks ago, he had a really nice game against the Chargers. He had a blow-up spot against Miami. He's had strong games. I think that the Chiefs matchup was always pretty horrible. He was going to be on the road. Right. It was also a weird game in that the Raiders scored 2 consecutive defensive touchdowns. So they basically went an entire quarter without possessing the ball. Sorry, I should have trigger warning before running that down.
So miserable.
So like it couldn't have gone worse. His target share is still ridiculous. And the Colts, like someone made that chart of which defenses have the most like variance and how they set up. Snap to snap, the Colts are like dead last. They're just going to play the most passive cover 3 possible all game. It's what Gus Bradley does. I think if they want to scheme the ball to Devontae, it will be very easy for them to do so. He's just going to be running free, finding the holes in the zones all day. And whether Aiden O'Connell can hit him, I have no idea. But I think he actually does have a very legitimate ceiling this week. And I don't know if Pittman's going to play or not. He returned to a limited practice, but kind of scary situation where he was cleared and then he got uncleared with whiplash symptoms. So hard to say. If he does play, he's always a good play. He just gets so many targets. And if he doesn't, then, you know, I wouldn't let last week completely discourage me from taking flyers on a Josh Downs or an Alec Pierce.
Yeah, I probably can't get there on those guys. Like, maybe I'll change my tune if like for salary constraints or whatever, but this is this is one of the games that is being played in a dome, so that's nice, but like not going to be playing Minshew, not going to be playing O'Connell, probably not going to be playing Adams. Taylor maybe is like a little interesting at 7300, but again, I mean, even Jacobs, if he plays in this game, is 6,200. I probably would rather play Jacobs. I'd probably rather play like DeAndre Swift. We didn't even talk about Derrick Henry, but like Henry against the Texans, it's such a meme, you know, like whatever. It's all It's this game is not that interesting. It's not as interesting as I mean, thought it was going to be 7 months ago, for sure.
I'm obligated. Like, these Colts home games always go over the total. Like, they play so fast, especially at home. Like, I don't know. I think that this game is more alive. And maybe I'm just talking myself into it because I'm a Colts fan and I have this game owned on my BBM roster. So I'm acknowledging my bias, but I would not be surprised if we get 45 to 50 points here.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't be surprised either. Michael Mayer was out last week. He's like super cheap. Whatever. Sure. Fine. All right. Carolina and Jacksonville. I'm not going to debase myself by even talking about like playing Miles Sanders with Chuba Hubbard maybe out. I just like, whatever. If he projects that well, fine. I'm not playing Adam Thielen. I'm not playing Mingo. I'm not playing Shark. I really don't even want to play any Jaguars. Like, Trevor Lawrence is doing like the Black Knight from Monty Python thing right now. He's like, he's got a concussion. He's got a rib injury. He's got an AC joint injury. And I think he's going to play. I think the line is suggesting that Lawrence is going to play. Because also, by the way, CJ Beathard did not practice either. CJ Beathard somehow, despite not playing, is hurt, got hurt. He didn't practice on Wednesday. So, and I think Nathan Rourke maybe got claimed by someone.
Yeah,
so
he's
not even
he did by the Texans, which really ruins this week. I mean, oh man, the chance that we could have seen Nathan Rourke in this spot would have made my entire week.
It would have been great.
So depressed.
But like Ridley, 2-touchdown chalk last week. I would literally rather play Parker Washington than Calvin Ridley. I'm just not signing up for that experience. Washington looked really good his first two games and then like immediately like entered into the Zay Jones zone. Ingram is the best play in this game.
That guy just gets funnel targets. Yeah, you can
7th
100%
most catches in the NFL.
Wow, that's kind of disgusting.
It's really disgusting.
No DJ Chark revenge game for you?
No. I just like sure, Bryce can make his throws and Josh Norris can tweet about how Bryce Young is part of the solution and not part of the problem or whatever, but like I ain't buying it. I am not. Maybe I will buy Bryce Young next year when they pay T. Higgins 5 years, $190 million just to get someone for Bryce Young to throw the ball to. But I think on a 13 game slate, Carolina Panthers receiving options, it's just too thin of an area.
Yeah. Man, the Thielen dream like gone as fast as it came to us, eh? Like that was for the first half of the season, like he was basically 2021 Cooper Kupp. And then how quickly it's faded.
So what happens to old guys, man. Old guys, it's the way it's always been explained to me is that old guys can access what they used to be able to do every once in a while, but they can't do it every day or every game. And that's the issue.
And Thielen used it all up too early. Man, if this was a month ago, ETN at $7,200 versus Carolina would have been 40% owned. And
yeah,
it's probably going to be 10.
I fear that Travis Etienne has entered into the 2023 Pollard zone where I just watch him and it just bumps. I mean, could he be hurt? Was he just running hot on touchdowns? I don't know. It could just be downwind effects of Trevor Lawrence playing like shit, but the efficiency is like gone for Etienne in every facet of the game.
Not great. Still kind of want to play it against Carolina.
Well, I mean, he will be like whatever he would have been owned for.
Like his
weeks
role
ago.
Is still like he's like his role is good relative to the other backs. Like Dearness plays a little bit, but like he still gets the majority of all the high value touches. The main problem is that they. Like, this is a team where when they fall behind, they fully abandon the run. Like, they do not stick with the run. So they need to be playing from ahead. But they probably have a pretty good chance to do that this week against Carolina.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, ETN is projecting at 4% owned. So, you know.
That's hard to say no to. I'm not going to flag plant it, but he'll be in the mix.
All right. Next game, very interesting. A game that somehow I stacked like every way possible in Best Ball Mania and still did not end up with like a bazillion Puka teams. We got the Los Angeles Rams traveling to play against the Giants. Obviously, Daniel Jones died suddenly, and that's a big reason why those teams did not do that well. Wandale, Slayton, they're fine salary relief options with Tyrod starting. I think Tyrod is even like, you could do Tyrod.
Oh, great play.
Yeah, you could do Tyrod and Cup. and Waller or whatever.
Slayton.
Barkley, fine. Kyren is one of the most fascinating plays of the slate because he's finally priced like he should be. He's 8,300 on DraftKings. And
still too low.
I just sort of think there's going to be, it's kind of like with Cook. I think there's just going to be sticker shock of being like, wait, Kyren Williams, like I'm paying more for Kyren Williams than I am for Alvin Kamara and Barkley and Taylor and Jacobs and Swift and Henry and all these guys I know. And I think he is at like 6 to 10%. He probably is the best play of the slate.
If he comes in at that, yeah, I'm seeing that higher right now, but I'm seeing low ownership on Puka and Kupp. And the Giants defense sucks. I mean, I get the game script would project for more Kyren. I think, like, so I have the Stafford Puka stack on that team as well. And I am freaking pumped that Tyrod is playing in this game because I have, like, no concerns about Stafford and Puka's ability to carve up this Giants defense if they desire to. My only concern is just if the Giants were totally non-competitive. I don't think Tyrod is great, but he's, like, galaxies better than Tommy DeVito. And he has that gorgeous deep ball. So I think you at least are drawing live for Tyrod to throw like a couple pearls to Darius Slayton or to Jalen Hyatt or some seam routes to Waller, score a couple touchdowns and actually keep the Rams engaged throughout the rest of this game. So I think all the three key Rams and Stafford are in play. I mean, I don't know if I'll actually get to Stafford, but I do think each of Kyren, Puka and Kupp are totally in play.
Yeah, I mean, probably I would actually argue $8,100 Kupp, $7,900 Puka, $8,300 Kyren. Like one of those guys is making it into the optimal this weekend. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a soothsayer, but I feel pretty good that like one of those guys is going to eclipse 30 points pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and Barkley at $6,900, I think he's perfectly cromulent player.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like I probably prefer A-Chain to him. Maybe that's stupid. Maybe I just might be the A-Chain slappy, but
you know, I am too.
Whatever.
It's fine. This is an A-Chain podcast. It was going better early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I miss you week four.
Yeah. Maybe Tyrod, Slayton, Kupp, Kyren is the way to do it because that assumes that Tyrod is like keeping them roughly competitive and we get four quarters of the Rams. Because I think two of the three guys, of the three Rams guys, can get there in the same game. I don't think all three can do it, but two of the three can.
I totally agree. But, you know, we're rooting for Puka personally. So I will not be playing Kupp out of hope.
Yeah. All right. We've got the Arizona Cardinals at the Philadelphia Eagles. Boy, I tell you what, if you would have told us 6 months ago that Kyler would be back and fully healthy and like scrambling and running around for this game, we would not have guessed that the Philadelphia Eagles would be 10-point favorites and that the Cardinals would have an 18-point team total. Seems like Hollywood Brown is not going to be playing in this game.
He's
so,
done for the year is my my read on that.
So you can play McBride. I don't even like Rondale. The thing with Rondale is every time he gets the ball, I'm like, fuck, he's so good. He is so fast. He is so dynamic.
Yeah.
And then and he'll generate like 7 yards out of nothing. And then you won't see him again for the rest of the game. He'll be like, where'd that dude go? You know? And I don't know if this is a Kyler problem. I don't know if this is a Gannon problem. I don't know if this is like whatever. But I just am not really that interested in playing any card. The Sims will love James Conner because the Sims always love James Conner because he's a running back who gets like 80% of the touches and he's always like 2% owned. My favorite Eagles play after watching last week, it's DeAndre Swift. They accessed something in the second half that they haven't had since like week three, since the not the Vikings game, but the game after it, where. And this is very ball knowing, so excuse me if this is not what you came to this podcast for. But I think
I was going to do this exact same bit, so I'm glad you beat me to it.
They never let Swift get in a rhythm. It would be like, okay, you run on first down, and then we're going to pass twice, and then we're going to come to you again. And you know you're never getting a touchdown. Like, you know, when we get to the 1 yard line, you're never getting a touchdown. So you're basically just like, window dressing down when we get into the red zone. And I just think that's like a tough spot to be in as a running back. But clearly in that second half against the Giants, they were like, we got to tighten this up. We had the dumb fumble. Like, let's just do what we do. Let's let the offensive line just go nuts on this bad defensive line. And Swift looked the best he had all year. He looked incredible. So Swift, I'm totally going back to the well. I think he gets like 22 carries here.
Well, okay, so you open this up by being like quite suppressive against basically every member of my BBM team with the Devontae hate, saying you would play Kopp and Kyren instead of Puka, talking bad about Rondale. But now you're back in my good books. With
no,
this
I was complimenting
Swift.
Rondale. I was complimenting Rondale more. It's not his fault. Like Rondale is totally one of those guys where I think if some team was just like, you know what, we're going to give you the ball 100 times, he would give you net positive returns.
Totally agree, and I hope that this is the week. DeAndre Swift, I mean, I like aged 70 years on Monday because I'm sitting there, I'm watching this game with my dad. He has the Eagles in his spread pool, and I have Swift on this BBM team. And I'm just like unironically screaming to establish the run at the television for like 3 consecutive hours against this Giants team. And it is so weird. Like last year, under Steichen, it really felt like their identity was they would come out and they would pass aggressively to open games. And Steichen always says this. He's like, you throw to score and you run to win. But then sometimes I found like, even in games where they were kind of struggling through the air, even if they were behind, if they were in a close game, they would have these drives where they'd be like, look, we tried the analytics. We're not really throwing the ball in rhythm today. We know ultimately, like if we just want to spam Jalen Hurts zone read with our running backs for like 7 consecutive plays that they can't actually stop it. And we're just going to do that. And they would have one of those drives in all these games, and it would always hit them back in rhythm. And this year they just haven't been willing to do that. And it was finally against the Giants that really felt like they had, you mentioned the Vikings game was another example. They're like, yes, like we're just going to run the freaking ball come over and over and over again. And they can't stop it. And they couldn't stop it. And Arizona will not be able to stop it. So I'm hopeful that this carries over, that they don't re-forget that they have a very good running game. So I'm very into Swift this week. I think he's a massive key piece of the slate. I hope that that's true. Rondale would be nice, but I'm certainly not, I'm not that enthusiastic about any Cardinal other than Trey McBride. Connor's fine, but you're not going to play Connor in a Swift lineup.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. And Jalen and AJB and Jalen and Devonta and Jalen and Dallas. I think the issue is they are so gung-ho on the rushing touchdowns now, just like as an organization. It's almost like every time they do it, they're saying, like, try and stop us, motherfucker. We know you can't.
Yeah.
That I don't think you really want to be double-stacking Jalen, and you really don't want to be double-stacking him in a game that's, like, not going to be competitive. Single Jalen stacks are right up there with, you know, totally Lamar fine. And Josh and like, yeah, just like going to be very plus EV.
I mean, they're going to score on Arizona without any resistance. It's just like who gets the touchdowns before the game gets out of hand is really the only question with their passing game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. All right. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. I mean, every week, Baker and Mike Evans, Rashad White every week. I got a little bit of sticker shock seeing Alvin Kamara being 7,500. I mean, he's probably fine. The Saints are still technically live for the playoffs. This win would actually be huge for them.
This would be huge.
So must be Alave is a great play.
Great play against the secondary. Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't play Carr, would just play Alave on his own or as a bring back. Alave probably going to be, just because of his price, he'll probably end up being the guy I play the most this week, a wide receiver.
Yeah, and I don't see like insane ownership on him either. I think he'll be in like the 10 to 12 range. Very, very interested in Chris Olave. And yeah, this would be, I don't have anything in this game, but this would be a game that I think I'd be pretty excited if I had like a good chunk of this game in a lineup. I think a lot, I don't know if I'll actually get to the whole Baker stack this week, although you totally could. It'll probably just be Olave with White or Olave with Evans for me.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, Rashad White, it's like, he's honestly just like, he's just every like week. Boring. You know, he just gets like, he just gets 21 points every week. Yeah. I don't know. And I just like never end up playing him. And I'm like, oh, you got to get A-Chain in there. Got to get Bijan in there. And then Rashad White just outscores them every single week.
Every week.
All right. Fuck. San Francisco at Washington. If Jacoby Brissett can keep this marginally close, just marginally, enough Purdy is still playing in the fourth quarter, I have a feeling the 49ers are going to go nuke because they are like they are licking their wounds after that horrible loss. I do think Shanahan, again, you got to read it in the narratives. I think Shanahan would love to fucking put up 50 this week and be like, yeah, Purdy, still the MVP. You know, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey. I think you double stack Purdy if you play him this week. I don't think you ever play Debo and Ayuk together, but you definitely can do it with McCaffrey or Kittle.
I have the San Francisco projections pulled up.
It's
Christian
insane.
McCaffrey's median DraftKings projection is 29.1. What? It doesn't seem wrong, but it seems insane.
They're not giving touches to anyone else. They're playing him in the fourth quarter when they're up. Like, it just doesn't matter. Debo grown at they're gonna score. High degree of confidence, insanely high degree of confidence that one of McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo, or Ayuk ends up in the optimal this week. I would rank them ranked choice.
Almost a lock.
McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, which is not to say that Ayuk is not. I'm just a Debo guy. Like, I think you kind of have to, there are these camps in fantasy football, and I'm definitely in the Debo camp. And I will probably just say one 49er in every team I make, whichever one it might be.
Yeah, to just continue referencing my BBM tilt, not having a 49er on that team is like what causes me to stare at the ceiling at night and like feel fear, because they're gonna score completely at will against this horrible Washington team. The only hope, if you're fading them, is that they score 35 points in the first half. One of them is a defensive touchdown, and one of them is like Jawan Jennings or something.
Jawan Jennings is the savior of all the Week 17 San Francisco faders. Like, they're just there. It's all about Jawan Jennings.
Yeah, like, because otherwise it's inevitable. Like, they're not going to get stopped at all. There's no chance. And the Jacoby Brissett playing is really good for them. Like, the total jumped when he got announced.
Like, he greatly decreases. Like, 7 points it jumped.
Right, and he's going to score more probably than Howell would, and B, he massively decreases the odds that San Francisco scores a defensive touchdown, which is the ultimate enemy of any offensive player, is a big favorite. So I can't imagine making a DFS lineup without a 49er in it.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think you have to do a Commanders bring back. Probably would make it McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby's just gonna.
Yeah. Although Chris Rodriguez, season-ending IR, Brian Robinson still not practicing with the hamstring. Leave a light on. Leave a light on for the. I will be the last guy in the room to turn the light off on Antonio Gibson.
Oh,
I'm probably gonna get.
What's the other running back on the roster? Do you even know?
Jonathan Williams,
Alex Arma,
and
Derek Gore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Derek Gore.
Derek Gore, he of Kansas City Chiefs fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Maybe this is Antonio Gibbs season.
I mean, this is going to be 18 Derek Gore carries. Like, I can just obviously, we know that's happening. All right. Pittsburgh at Seattle. How many points for Pickens this week? Like 4 points or 6 points for Pickens after the explosion last week?
Yeah. Probably 4 or 6. Sounds pretty good. Horrible matchup for him. Seattle's really, they lend their entire defense around not giving up explosive plays to boundary wide receivers. So I would fully expect that if you got your big advancement from George Pickens, that you say thank you for getting me there, but I wouldn't have a lot of expectations this week. Ken Walker, phenomenal play from this game, 6,100. Yeah. Yep. Pittsburgh gets lit up on explosive plays through the ground. They also get lit up on explosive plays through the air. So I think both Walker and Metcalf are gold star.
Yeah, I think Walker is probably my favorite like non-giga chalk running back of the week. He just is. Pete Carroll loves giving that dude the ball. JSN?
I hope so.
Yeah. The JSN, I have this bet with Peter, and our bet was, what does ETR's median projection have between Lockett and JSN in week 17? I have Lockett. He has JSN, and I've got him by like a point and a half right now. So I just need to avoid any late week.
I'm seeing 3.1 actually.
Wow. Get owned. Get owned, Peter. Old man.
I hope that projection is wrong. I hope that JSN crushes.
I don't care about the results. I don't have Lockett or JSN on my only remaining finals team. So, yeah, I don't care. I'd be happy for JSN. I would be happy for him to capitalize. But
JSN has been extremely disappointing and financially painful for almost the entire year. But the last second catch that kept this team alive in week 15 made it all good. So he's always in my good books forever at this point. He can do
He's shown enough that we're going to be arguing so much about him next offseason. He's shown just the, and if he has like a blow up game in one of these two final games or in the playoffs, he's going to be the new like Gabe Davis where everyone is so polarized.
The Sam Sherman content seems incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, he can't wait to comp him to
He's going to do the worst faith blind player comparison imaginable, and it's going to be great. We're going to get all the straw man Sherman tweets about JSN. It's going to be like people are saying like he's the next Randy Moss, but actually he's like substantially worse than Josh Downs. I don't know, it's going to be incredible.
Josh Downs probably has more fantasy points than him, if I had to guess.
I think probably, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, the week 17 game that I was all in on, boy fucking howdy, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me tell you that even if I had advanced a bunch of teams, they wouldn't have been projecting that well because Jake Browning will be quarterbacking, Ja'Marr Chase will not be playing, Chase Brown is eating about 30% of Joe Mixon's touches, and the Chiefs just can't complete a pass. They just, like, if once it gets about 7 yards down the field, it's completely dead for them. I got two plays from this game. We've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon is on IR, Isaiah Pacheco, concussion. I'm guessing he's not playing this week. But how about the Chiefs finally getting to what their wide receiver rotation should have been from the jump, which was Richie James, Rashee Rice, and anyone not named Marquez Valdes-Scantling as the third wide receiver in that permutation. Richie James, 25 snaps last week, 3 targets, 3 receptions, 54 yards, had the only explosive play. Only play over 20 yards in the game was a Richie James 45-yarder. Richie James for the men. Trust me, you all have played. You've played Mingo. You've played Zay Jones. You have played Michael Wilson. You have played Justin Watson on the same. Like, trust me, you've made worse men plays. But Clyde and Clyde is a jam to me, and Richie James actually is like a pretty legit salary relief option.
Yeah, Clyde is just Zeke at a lower price and a better matchup. So yep. I think that's a totally good play. You've been mentioning the sticker shock for different running backs. I'll admit it, $6,900 Rashee Rice, that was sticker shock for me. I saw that's that and I was like, whoa. Shock. And then I was like, actually. So it makes sense. But when I saw the Rashee Rice 6,900, 20% projected ownership, that got me. That got me thinking. He has a higher raw median projection than Travis Kelce this week, which is feels correct and also weird.
I mean, Kelce can't do anything after the catch with this lower body injury that he's nursing. He can still do the 7 yard find the seam, catch it, and sit down thing, but like these tight end screens they're throwing have like a literal 0% success rate, like literal no chance, like will never turn in to an explosive play. Travis, honestly, I don't know what the math says that for Travis to work out, but for the Chiefs to not have to play their starters next week would be so big for Travis because he is clearly so banged up.
Well, if they win this game, that would wrap up the division, right?
But I think for seeding purposes, next week still matters for them almost.
But like, does seeding even matter? Like if they get the four or the three, who cares? They're not getting the two.
You really want to not play the Buffalo Bills, I think, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs. So as it sits right now.
So then don't you want the four? Wouldn't you rather lose out?
You'd rather lose. Yeah, you'd rather lose. Yeah, because I think, well, so right now, I'm projecting it to go Ravens, or fuck, are the Browns going to be the two seed?
The Browns are going to be the five, I think.
The Browns are going to be the five because the Ravens are going to win the division.
Because if Miami loses this week, and the Browns win out, then they're for sure the five because Buffalo and Miami play each other in the last week.
Yeah.
So then the loser of that is the six, and the winner, that's the three.
Kansas City just needs to do whatever they can to not have to play Buffalo in the literal first round of the playoffs.
Right. So, Casey, I think you're actually like Buffalo could end up the five. It's possible. But I think it's the most likely scenario is that the loser of the AFC East ends up being the sixth seed, which means that Casey is honestly like benefited by losing.
All right. Well, whatever. Rest up, Travis. Get healthy. I don't even have it in me to play Mahomes this week, honestly. Like, I really don't. It's too painful. It's too painful to watch.
I mean, do you think this team has like any chance in the playoffs? Like if you're like when you're ripping gauntlet drafts, do you still have the like
Yes.
Do you still have it within you to homer stack the Chiefs?
So the reason why I still have it in me to homer stack the Chiefs is that they will minimum be playing in the first week, and their ADPs correspond very nicely with the San Francisco 49ers because you can actually start true. you can now start Debo, like if you get super lucky.
Yeah.
Not even super lucky, like 10% ADP draft lucky. You could start Debo, Purdy, Kittle, which I did twice already this morning, and you can still get Mahomes because people are so over it. So you can start and you can have, and then you can take another AFC team. You could do Bills, you could do James Cook, Gabe Davis, A-Chain, whoever, and you can take your last two picks as Chiefs guys. You can take Clyde and Richie James or whoever is your last two picks. That's the only reason I do it. If I was not like so gung-ho on just taking these 49ers with a bye week, like the Bills are a better bet than them right now, I think.
I agree. Plus the Chiefs like weird-ass wide receiver rotations.
Right.
They actually become helpful in this tournament where just the setup is such that a 6-point score might actually be the difference between you winning and losing the tournament. And so just knowing that there will be Chiefs who will run routes at the, in the very last round of the draft is like
It's just the particulars of the tournament that's like, yeah, like you should just be taking, like if you have like a full built out NFC team, Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, whatever, you should be taking a lot of like Noah Gray, Richie James, 9-10.
Yeah. Like it's nice that like Mecole Hardman is drafted in like 5% of these and will probably run 15 routes in a Chiefs Super Bowl. And you can
in
you
a
can
very
just get that.
Fictional Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Final game. Not a good one. Easton Stick takes on Jarrett Stidham. I mean, Javonte, I guess. Sutton, I guess. I probably will. I honestly like Gerald Everett, maybe. That's probably Gerald Everett's probably the best play in this game.
This game was voted most likely to never show up on your red zone screen.
Yeah, this game sucks. Yeah, it's just like whatever. There's not even a cheap guy you really want to play. Like Palmer, not even that cheap. Quentin Johnson, like I ain't leaving a light on for Quentin.
I don't even know if I have it within my heart to like Galbrain Eckler in the not matchup. I guess I do. Yeah. I just mentioned it, but I feel bad about it as soon as I said it.
Yeah. All right. What are you planting your flag on?
CJ Stroud, Nico Collins. I started my season basically with a summer worth of flag planting CJ Stroud and Nico Collins. No longer there for me in the best ball streets, but hopefully they come through in the DFS streets in week 17.
Yeah, you were the big Nico guy. I gotta give you credit for that. I probably was like not that interested in him, and you got me into taking. I wish I would have. For every Bateman team, I wish was a Nico Collins team instead.
I wish that they didn't get hurt immediately before the best ball playoffs and get all of those teams eliminated and break my heart. But we had a good run while it lasted, Nico and CJ.
All right, I am gonna flag plant Debo as the 49er who ends up in the optimal. Cup as the Ram who ends up in the optimal, and A-Chain as my slappy 3% play.
Nice. Love that.
And Isaiah Likely over Trey McBride. Yeah.
Oof, there we go.
All right. There we go, everyone. Thanks for listening. We will be back for week 18 in 7 days. See you later.
Sweet.